Well, welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark, and I'm with Pastor Paul Jordan. And this is a weekly podcast that we put together to kind of reflect on what we heard this last week in our Sunday morning services. And we're in the book of the Song of Solomon. And once again, I talked about it last week on the podcast that I commend you for tackling this book, because not many would want to sink their teeth into this, but you did.
Well, and you know, especially this one, because this is the night, we called it a night to remember. So this is the wedding night. And so that is a sort of personal, intimate.
It is, yeah. And it was so funny because we, for those of you that don't know, Chris and Abby Olson, we commissioned them to go out with the gospel message and to a church in Oscoda, Michigan. And he, you know, it was a great time of praying for him and kind of talking about his ministry. And he says, I'll never forget being commissioned on the Sex Talk Sunday on the Song of Solomon. So it's kind of
memorable.
Funny. Yeah. So you'll never, that's probably unique. It's probably the first time that's ever happened. So we, you know, we had a huge section of Song of Solomon to cover. And we actually went from kind of the middle of chapter two, and we covered it all the way through the beginning of chapter five. And so I'm just going to kind of throw it out there, and we can kind of talk back and forth, because it is kind of building to this wedding night. One of your main points was, like, you know, the intensity of a couple for each other kind of increases over time. And then you had two truths to live by, like constantly praising your spouse, and then God's design is for physical intimacy to be reserved and enjoyed in marriage. So let's talk about how the text flows and stuff like that, and what was in our sermon.
Sure. What we see is that, especially in at the end, the middle of chapter two into chapter three, is that whole intensity of that longing for each other. And that's something that's so important with a couple, especially when they're dating. And we tried to carry this over into marriage as well, is that it shouldn't stop once you get married. But there is that longing, that adoration for each other.
Right. And we also, you brought up elements of purity, which I think is kind of where the rubber meets the road in many couples' relationships, because the closer and closer you get to your potential spouse or the person you're engaged to or the person you're dating, that intensity for physical expression of your emotional love, it just increases. And so many couples a lot of times draw a line in the sand and say, I want to protect myself from this, but then they struggle with that because it's just a natural thing that God has created. You know, God created sex. He created it to be good in the confines of a marriage relationship. So, and that's what I said, is like, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. So we talked a little bit about purity stuff too.
Right. And I think one thing that we see through the Song of Solomon is the other delight that the couple had. It was worth waiting for before they indulged or they fully gave themselves to. And then we see that the bride willingly gave herself to the husband, and likewise with the husband to the bride, because it was worth waiting, because that's God's standard.
Right. And I think you've been in pastoral ministry for, you know, decades, and I've been in counseling situations, you've been in counseling situations where we've talked with couples that are dating or engaged and either have messed up in sexual purity, whatever line that they drew, they stepped over it. And I think one thing that we would both, and we haven't talked about this but necessarily, but I think we would both agree, is that when we mess up before marriage, whatever line it is, whether it's kissing, holding hands, or whatever extra lines that you want to put there that you want to draw and protect yourself from, when you mess up with those, I can't stress strongly enough to the people that might be listening to this, it will affect your relationship with that person, even if you continue to get married to them. You know what I mean? So, like, if you mess up, because there's kind of like this forbidden fruit, like temptation there to, like, okay, seek after this, even though you're not in the confines of a marriage relationship, what happens is then you're married and all of a sudden everything is free, you know, to do and good and enjoyable. But when you eliminate that kind of like that, almost like the evil nature of it, it's like, well, then it feels like you're lacking something there. So I guess my stress is for those of you that are in a relationship with somebody now, like, don't think that, well, just, it doesn't matter like what we do now because we're going to get married. It will affect your sexual intimacy in marriage if you mess up now.
There's no question about that. And that, you know, there's bitterness, there's that sense of guilt that people carry. And so you will address that issue.
Yeah.
And I've seen that with marriages, that you're right, the intimacy after marriage It may take a little while, but it does come up. Now, the other side of that, because I know that we're short on time here, is that there's also forgiveness for those couples that have. And now, we're not saying that that's the right thing to do, but there is God's forgiveness, His grace to cover when a couple does, get involved before marriage.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because, like, we've talked about this before, like in the Song of Solomon, in your sermon too, it got brought out as like, the only people that exist, it seems like, in the Song of Solomon is the other person. Like, they're constantly praising one another, talking about one another. And it gets into a description, like Solomon describes.
Yes, rather intimately.
In a very, like, ancient way, where, like, if you actually get a mental picture of this lady, she's, horrific, like towers for necks and teeth that look like lambs or whatever. So, like, it doesn't quite make sense to us, but I think maybe what Solomon is pointing at is that, and I think we talked about this too, is that the standard of beauty is your spouse. It's not somebody else. Like, he's infatuated with her, not somebody else, and he's not comparing her to somebody else. He's comparing her to her. So I think that's important. Like, pastorally, we talked about this, is like, well, what happens when you're in your 60s and your wife doesn't look like she used to when she's in her 20s? Is she no longer beautiful? And we'd say, of course not, because the standard of beauty is your spouse where she's at now.
Sure. And that's what we saw in that section, chapter 4, where he starts off saying, you're beautiful, you're the one that I love. And then after describing her, then he does conclude with, you are altogether beautiful, my love. There's no flaw in you.
Yeah.
And so you see this adoration that he has for her.
Yeah, and it was cool because it's weird being up in the mother's room, like trying to listen to sermons and there's distractions and everything. But I remember when you got to that, when you read that, and I was like, man, that was such a powerful line that was read. I was like, there's no flaw in you. When I read that, I'm like, man, he's in love with this particular lady. He's not comparing her to other people. The standard is her and her alone. What else is there that you wanted to bring out?
Well, just, the anticipation for the wedding night. You see that in the end of chapter 3 going into chapter 4. So you see that everything is leading towards this. And it ties in with that purity, is that when you're waiting, it's worth it to, you don't want to cheapen your marriage by indulging or getting involved early.
Yeah.
And so you see that building up in the intensity to then when the wedding night comes, they're able to fully enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And then it actually then concludes with chapter 5 where it says, eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love. And so you almost, and what I drew is you could either say it's the daughters of Jerusalem, the friends, the bridesmaids, or it could be God. And if it's God's blessing, which I think is legitimate, then you're saying, hey, God is giving his blessing upon a relationship that is sexually oriented, but it's for they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah, and like I said, we talked about this. Even if we can't establish that necessarily from chapter 5, verse 1, we see it throughout the Bible. We see it in Genesis 2, where God says, be fruitful and multiply. And the way that he chose to do that is through our anatomy and our enjoyment of each other. And so what a wonderful gift that is so often abused and not understood and so often a target that Satan kind of controls and attacks. And so I appreciate you talking about there being hope in this, because some people would say that's not my experience, but there is hope that it could be through Christ.
Sure. And again, it's in God's word, and he wants, he's the one who created us, he's the one who established marriage, and he wants to have us enjoy life, and we do that with the companion that he's brought into our lives.
Very good. So there's more to come. We got 2 more weeks of the Song of Solomon, so we'll see you this Sunday.